going to look at Isaiah 48, so we'll read a couple of verses of Isaiah 48, but then we're going to go to Genesis 32 as well. So I'm going to need your Bible out. We're going to start out, I'm going to read to you Isaiah 48, and then we're going to go to Genesis chapter 32. And I want, the reason I do it, you need some background on Isaiah 48. So, let me get my Bible to Isaiah 48. I'm just going to read a few verses so you'll hear what God has to say to us. I'm going to read 1, 2, and 3. I may read 4. I'll probably read 1 through 4, and then go down to verse 12 and read a couple of verses there. Then we'll go to Genesis 32. So hear what God has to say in Isaiah 48, starting verse 1. Hear this, O house of Jacob, who are called by the name of Israel, and have come forth from the wellsprings of Judah, who swear by the name of the Lord, and make mention of the God of Israel, but not in truth or in righteousness. For they call themselves after the holy city, and lean on God, the God of Israel. The Lord of hosts is his name. I have declared the former things from the beginning. They went forth from my mouth, and I caused them to hear it. And suddenly I did them, and they came to pass. Verse 4, because I knew that you were obstinate, and your neck was an iron sinew, and your brow bronze. Then you get the picture. Then drop down to verse 12. Listen to me, O Jacob, and Israel, my called. I am he, I am the first, I am the last. Indeed, my hand has laid the foundation of the earth. My right hand has stretched out the heavens. When I call to them, they stand up together. And we'll read some of the others in a few minutes if we have time. So I want you to hear that God has called Jacob, Israel, to be his people. Did you hear that so far? Israel was chosen by God to be his special people. And then verse 4 of chapter 48 said they were obstinate. They were disobedient, up and down in their spiritual walk. So run over to Genesis 32 and look at verses 24 through 29. Genesis 32, 24 through 29, and I think you're going to recognize this right off. Then Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until the breaking of day. Now when he saw that he did not prevail against him, he touched the socket of his hip, and the socket of Jacob's hip was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, let me go, for the day breaks. But he said, I will not let you go unless you bless me. So he said to him, what is your name? And he said, Jacob. And he said, your name shall no longer be Jacob, but Israel, for you have struggled with God and with men and have prevailed. So both Isaiah and Genesis, you hear Jacob, you hear Israel. In verse 27 of Genesis 32, the angel of the Lord asked Jacob, what is your name? Now, if he's able to come down here and wrestle with Jacob, do you think you have to know what Jacob's name? What is your name? So I think that's meant for us. We need to understand what his name means. It's a deceiver, supplanter, he was always deceiving somebody, or he would circumvent the rules so that he could increase his lifestyle. So Jacob was a name that was not really nice. You're a deceiver, Jacob. But then look at 28, verse 28. After he's gone through this whole wrestling match with the angel of the Lord, and that very well could have been the Lord Jesus, your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel, for you have struggled with God and with men and have prevailed. So he's given a new name. It's not Jacob anymore. It's Israel, who strives with God, struggled with God, and he prevailed as he struggled with God. Now, I want you to picture that in deceiver, to supplanter, to struggling with God, and he prevails. And then put 27 and 28 together, and you see Jacob as that deceiver. He wrestles with God, he struggles with God, and in turn, God blesses him. He's given a new name. So I want to put all that thought process together. The end product is a man who was once a deceiver, who was having to face Jesus, the Lord, face to face. He wrestles with God. Then he's forgiven for his lifestyle. And then he's blessed. He's also been given a new name. He's been given a new life. He's been touched by God. And he's limping. That limp would represent where he struggled with the Lord. As I wrote all this down, it sounds a whole lot like me, like Jacob, he must be reborn. He must be born again. Isn't that the same process we go through where we go to the Lord and the rebirth happens? We are deceivers, we're evil, we're all sinners, we're born sinners, all our sins fall short of the glory of God. Whether you want to admit it or not, that's scripture. You know, God's the only perfect one. And we go through life sometimes a very short time, sometimes 5 years old, we get saved, sometimes 55 years old. But we go through whatever life we is until we get to the point of we face Jesus face to face. What happens when you face Jesus for the first time and you know that you're a sinner? What happens to you? You sometimes fall, or sometimes you stand straight up and say, no, I'm going to reject it. But you know you've been in the presence of God, don't you? Amen. And if you know you're in the presence of God and your heart is soft enough to say, Lord, I need something here, then what happens? You ask the Lord to come into your life, what does he do? Yeah, he changes you. What does Paul say we become? Yeah, brand new creation, brand new life, a brand new name. So I think we can see a picture of the old, of what Jacob went through, and then we'll get to Isaiah in just a second. But we can also see the New Testament through Jacob. There are a lot of similarities here. Jacob was a sinner. He struggled with God. He wrestled with God. He prevailed with God. And God blessed him, gave him a new name, which could symbolize a new life, a new meaning in his life, anyways. And then God just blessed. Law of God church today, do we claim to be God's people?
Amen.
Yeah, yes, sir. How serious are we about being God's people?
Amen.
He's called us to be His people. He's put His stamp on us, a brand new heart, a brand new name, a brand new life. God, better be a Hillcrest, God is our God. He's our Lord. But some churches, not so. When you have a leader of a denomination say, same-sex marriages is all right, is that following God's word? Which brings us to another part of this. We follow God's word to a T. We believe God's word. I'm not saying that you're not going to break it and sin against it, but we believe in our heart that God, this is the only thing that we go by. This is our instruction book. Verse 1 of 48, they swear by the name of the Lord and make mention of God. Last part, but not in truth or in righteousness. Could that be a picture of the New Testament church now? If we're not careful, a lot of churches are going that way. There's no righteousness in some of the New Testament churches. There's no holiness. Things or cultures coming into the church. And if we're not guarding the church, what's going to happen here at Hillcrest? We're going to be a church of the world. So it's up to us to realize that we belong to God. He's called us. We're a chosen people. And we have His word. And we abide by it. Now look at 12 and 13. Isaiah 48, 12 and 13. I want you to bring this up to us. And put your name here. Listen to me, Jerry. Bible says, listen to me, O Jacob. Listen to me, church. Israel, my call. I am He. I am the first. I am also the last. Indeed, my hand has laid the foundation of the earth, and my right hand has stretched out the heavens. When I call unto them, they stand up. They stand up together. I don't know about you, I want you to read verse 13 in your quiet time. Let me read it again. My hand has laid the foundation of the earth. What did God just say? He created this world, didn't He? His hand was on it. My right hand, I can just picture it, stretched out over the heavens, and there they are. They were. Now they are. When I call them, they stand up together. That's talking too about the church. When He calls us, we'll stand together too. But I did some homework on this. I'm going to have to read them just about word for word. He's creator of all things, and I want you to make no mistake about that. There's nothing on this earth that God didn't create. I was watching a movie the other night, and a soldier and a young boy were looking at the brightest star up in the sky. And the man asked the boy, do you know what the name of that star was? And the man right there, he popped up, yeah, I know exactly, he said what the name of it was. Do you know how far it is? Right then he said yes, and snapped out some numbers. And the man said, how'd you know that? Because my dad and I used to look at the stars and study. Well, that kind of shamed me because I don't even know where the other's planet is or any of the stars and all that, so I had to look all this up. Do you know how far the brightest star is from Earth? 7.5 light years. 1 light year is the distance light travels in 1 Earth year. 1 light year is about 6 trillion miles. That number's about that big. Our sun is the closest star to us. It's 93 million miles away. And I'm getting this out of my mouth figure. planet Mars is 45 million miles. The planet Jupiter, 5 million miles. The planet Mercury, if it's still a planet, is called, is 75 million miles away. Now, I don't have to tell you, I'm way over my head on this. But I want you to read 13 again, verse 13. Last part, when I call them, they stand up together. God put every single one of those stars with them, every single one of those planets. He put Earth right here. He put the people on this Earth. We do not know what's way, 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 way out there, trillions of miles away. That's God's creation, though. He did it. So next time you're looking up at the sky and see all those stars, how often do we take those for granted? We don't think they're pretty, and we keep on going. But if those stars, those planets, obey God, what do you think we ought to be doing as His people? As His called people.
You know, God gave us those for signs and for seasons.
Yeah. He had a plan for every one of them.
Can I tell you a little experience? One time I planted some beans, and I planted it in the river, and was holding them both in flowers. I didn't get one bean, but I got a lot of labor. God gave us those things to tell us where to plant. Maybe thank you.
Okay.
God set those things in place for a purpose.
Exactly. I know that. That's the point of all this. He put this church right here for a purpose.
Yes, sir.
He put each one of us here for a purpose.
Mm-hmm.
He is the creator of all things, including us. He does require something of us. Keep on going. Let's try to finish this up. 17 and 18, verses 17 and 18. Thus says the Lord, your Redeemer. Notice how He said, I am God, I'm first, I'm your Redeemer, I called you, I chose you. It's all about God, the Holy One of Israel. I am the Lord your God. Is there a question mark there? No. He wants you to know He is the Lord your God, and He teaches you to profit, who leads you by the way you should go. Oh, that you had heeded my commands. Uh-oh, there's a problem there. Oh, that you had heeded my hands, which is what they didn't do. They did not heed His commandments. If they had, then your peace would have been like a river and your righteousness like the waves of the sea. So if you'd done what God told them to do, they would have had a peaceful life and supplied all their needs and fixed to lose it all. But hear what He has to say. I'm your Redeemer. I'm the Holy One. He says of Israel, and I want to change that to He's the Holy One of the church today. We need to hear that. God is the Redeemer. He's our God, our Lord. I teach you and I lead you. So why haven't you heeded my commandments, my word? If you had, peace would be yours. Now, let's take a second to think about that. Think about all the turmoil that our own Christian families have. I wonder why they have so much turmoil. Could it be that we're not keeping the Word of God? And I promise you that's exactly what's happened. You'd have all the righteousness of God and you'd be living in holiness and righteousness. And look at verse 22. There is no peace, says the Lord, for the wicked. No peace for the evil, for the sinful. These are not my words, these are God's words. I'm so glad He's the one that writes them. So what's the take home? What's the lesson to the New Testament church in this? To know it, to live it, read it, study it, and do it. And really, if we don't, verse 22 says, what? No peace. You may think you have peace, but if you're not doing what God says to do, then you have no peace. It's a false peace. What are some of the other lessons that we hear that would apply to the New Testament church, to us? keep the commandments, that's number one. To study the commandments, how do we do that? How do we study the commandments today in our church? Study the Word, come to Sunday school, come to prayer meeting, come to any activity where we use this thing right here, and you'll hear the Word. It's up to you what you do with it. But if the Word goes out, what's the Bible say about that? It's not going to return void, is it? If you're a believer and you follow His Word, it's going to penetrate your heart. You can do what you want with it, but God's going to do something with it too. What else? What are some of the lessons for New Testament churches? We looked at Jacob as he wrestled with God, and then we looked at Isaiah 48. A lot of lessons here. Is there anything wrong with struggling with God or wrestling with God? Well, I don't do that every time we make a decision. If you spend enough time with God, you're going to wrestle with the choices. Instruction and required tonight. What was it, Claudia? I heard it. What are you trying to say? There's so much. Sing with a smile on your face. When we come Sunday morning, we got the greatest God in the world. He claims us, He chose us, He called us to be here. Don't you think we'll be smiling? Worshiping God with a great big smile on our heart. There's a lot of lessons in this. I encourage you to take these two, Genesis 32 and Isaiah 48, and read them, study them, and then compare them. And set you on fire with some of this stuff. Okay, we're going to pray. Father Almighty, thank you for just another day, another night. Thank you for another prayer meeting where we can pray and open up the Word and sing and praise. Father, feel your presence. I pray, Lord, as we look at Genesis 32 and Isaiah 48, that we would know without a doubt that you created us. You created everything in this world, in these heavens, Father. They do things at your command. I think of Jesus as he calmed the storms, the waves. Father, they obey me. Help us, Father, be as obedient, that we would obey you as well. Thank you, God, for all the blessings of this life. Pray your blessings now on each one as they leave, traveling nurses on the way home. And Father, just a blessed night tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.